Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, it is episode 200 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast, and I want to thank every one of you who has listened, even if for 30 seconds. To the show over the course of the last nearly 4 years. This show started in December 2014. I am grateful to Greg Mahochko for inviting me to join the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And I have had a show every week since then. And some weeks were harder than others to put a show together due to time constraints, due to a lack of a guest. I do prefer shows that have guests. Last week, you may have listened to episode 199. It sounded rather doom and gloomy, I think, and I apologize for that. As I am looking to continue to build and create a brand here with my 1-2-3 cents, and sometimes you have to take a step back or evaluate and look at a situation and just bounce ideas and see what's going to work and what's not going to work. You know, through the years, I've had countless guests. You know, my buddy Chad Smart with the Positive Cynicism podcast here on Jittery Monkey, he has been, a consistent part of the show throughout the years. We do our Six Cents together now that he has his own podcast. We don't do as many shows together, but he has been someone who's been very supportive of the cause. My friend Tom Harness, who I've reintroduced to the world of professional wrestling, and we actually have another show together called Another Round with Tom Harness and Kevin Huntsberger. And actually, I'll talk more about that in just a minute as I kind of explain things that's going on with this show. Of course, there is Greg Mahochko, too, who is the founder, co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and as I mentioned, invited me. Almost 4 years ago at this time, we kind of started talking about becoming a part of the podcasting network. I had no idea really how to put a podcast together, and you know, in some respects, as I'm getting a ding here, it's actually Chad texting me. I didn't know exactly what to do. I just knew that I wanted to do a podcast to kind of complement the blog and the YouTube channel that My 1-2-3 Cents also has going for itself. And so I'm not going to sit here and ramble forever. I do have a show. I announced several weeks ago when I knew episode 200 was coming up, because I try to mark the milestone shows with a big guest. Terry Runnels, for example, was my guest when I hit the one-year mark on the podcast. Bushwhacker Luke, of course, now a WWE Hall of Famer, he was episode 100 of the show. He was coming into town, into Southern Illinois, to wrestle for Stride Pro Wrestling, and it was kind of a two-for-one. He promoted his appearance, and he was the special guest. And I suppose I could have worked a little harder to find a guest. I reached out to several people, to WWE superstars, past and present. I'll tell you who I reached out to. Road Warrior Animal, for example, is coming to Southern Illinois in November. I reached out to the organizers of that event, IWA Productions. We were not able to get to him in time. Kevin Sullivan is someone else that I had reached out to through Herb Simmons, who has been on this show. He, of course, is the promoter for SICW in East Carondelet, Illinois. It's Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling, and I appreciate the efforts that went out, but we weren't able to come up with anyone. I reached out to Brutus the Barber Beefcake. And I also, long shot guy, well, of course, I've talked about reaching out to Ric Flair in the past, but Matt Riddle, who has recently signed with the Performance Center, or with WWE, likely be a part of NXT very soon, reached out to him as well, and I didn't hear anything back, which I didn't expect to really hear anything back, but, you know, I believe if you don't at least ask, you're never going to know for sure, so... I went ahead and reached out, and my buddy Tom had a while back suggested doing kind of a best of, and I would really truly like to do a best of, but I have replaced computers through the course of this podcasting journey, and I don't have all of my shows saved. So from 2016 on, so about 18 months into the podcasting thing, I still have many of those interviews and shows saved. And I've had friends on, and the beautiful thing about doing a podcast is you make friends along the way. Tom and Jason Skull, for example, have been on the podcast. They are the host of the Skullbuster Wrestlecast, and Tom does another show with his buddy Jim Doubt. It's called Tom and Jim's Top 5. I've talked about these guys before. Chad actually introduced me, I say introduced in the sense of, said, listen to these shows and see what you think. And so from there, you know, then I met the guys over at the Ring General Radio and I'm part of the Battle Bowl tournament. And so it's just kind of been a nice little family of networking, if you will, and friends have been made along the way. And, you know, you pick up and meet people online, and it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun, and of course, as I mentioned, I am a part of Stride Pro Wrestling, and I'm going to throw a Stride Pro Wrestling plug out this Friday night. If you are listening this week, it is September 21st. It's a Friday night. Stride returns for action. Gallatin County High School. Go to strideprowrestling.com for the match card and everyone that's going to be a part of it. So anyway, back to the guest aspect of this show, of this particular episode. And what I have done is I've gone through and I've pulled a handful of past shows, past guests that, and if you're listening and you know, you're not a part of this compilation, don't be offended. It's not because you didn't say anything that I liked or I didn't want to make you a part of this. I appreciate everyone who has been a part of this show, who has followed the blog, who has been a subscriber on the YouTube channel. But I did grab a handful of past guests, and I'll go through and I'm going to introduce each guest and then, you know, play a clip from them and then come back and introduce the next guest. So I'm going to start with Lisa Marie Varon, who is the artist formerly known as Victoria in WWE. And of course, she also wrestled as Tara in TNA Impact Wrestling. And Tom and I actually just very recently had her on another round with Tom and Kevin. We were able to get her on to talk about all kinds of things. But what she's going to talk about in this clip in particular is Evolution, which is coming up with WWE. She lets us know kind of her status for that, but also talks a little bit about the differences between wrestling for Impact versus WWE and what happened to those spiders that was a part of her gimmick.
If they did call me, invite me, of course. I mean, that's, you know, it's where I came from. You know what I mean? But a lot of people have asked me, have I been called? I have not. I haven't been called to,
and somebody out there, pick up the phone and call. Seriously. Lisa Marie, come on. Right, Kevin?
You and Charlotte would be amazing. Yeah, honestly.
I'm going to be honest with you. The way the girls work now, though, back in my generation or my matches, I'm a little bit slow and more character. I'm more like zoom in on my face and get that evilness on my face. I don't work at the fast pace they do. I don't do spot. You know, it's more like boom. Rest, look at the crowd, you know, get like more of a storytelling that way. Not to say that they're doing anything wrong. I'm just a little bit more old school.
Right. Sure.
But of course, you know, Charlotte, you know, I knew before her getting into wrestling, and I'm very tight with Ric Flair. So I remember him calling myself and Mickie James before she got into wrestling if I could fly out and go train with her. And that's a big compliment to get a call from Ric to go, And at that time, I think I was booked on something. And I don't like to cancel if I'm advertised, you know what I mean? Sure. Unless like death of the family or something, like God forbid, you know? But it's the roster's incredible. Oh my gosh, it's
my money's on you. All in. I'm all in with you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
We gotta make this happen. Kevin, pick up the phone. Call your people.
Yeah. Call your people.
Okay. Call your people, Kevin.
If I had people, I would be there already. we did talk a lot about WWE. You obviously also had quite a career at Impact Wrestling, 5-time women's champion there, and also held the women's tag team championship. It seems like a lot of times people forget about how much the Knockouts division was really kind of innovative and cutting edge too, and running parallel in some regards to, you know, they did, it didn't feel like they were labeling or had the divas.
Yeah. Mind. Yeah. You know, about that, when I was done with WWE, when they said, I never said it was my retirement match. The retirement mm-hmm. never came out of my mouth, because you see old legends, you just don't say retire. We're going to sure. float somewhere. And once this business is in your blood, there's no way, there's no escape. You know, it's like quicksand, keeps on sucking you back in. And I didn't plan on going to TNA after WWE. And then, all those girls were watching Impact Wrestling. Their women's division kicked butt. Mm-hmm. I started watching when Gail Kim and Awesome Kong were feuding. And I was like, and then I saw all the girls there and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at this, the talent. There were a lot of girls I've never faced. And when I had a 90-day no compete clause, and I got a call from Terry Taylor to come aboard to Impact, TNA at the time. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, let me think about it. And he goes, well, we want to debut with you in 2 days. And I'm like,
wow.
What? I go, my 90 days, I mean, literally on my 90th day, the 91st day, I got the call.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was.
That's awesome.
They wanted to sign me for 3 years. And I go, hey, you know, let me just do 1 year and see what it's like. I don't want to commit myself, because what if maybe it's time for me to hang my boots up. And then ended up loving it, having awesome feuds there. And the girls were amazing. And not so lingerie-ish, like no bikini stuff. And we did photo shoots. That way people could see the sexiness of the women. You know what sure. I mean? It's part of the business. And I know people are saying, I don't want to do photo shoots like that. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. You got to look at what the products out there, you know? And it was incredible. And when I got there on my first match, I said, what do you want me to do? You know, they're like, just go out there and do what you do. And I go, wait a minute. I need more guidance than that. What do you want? Do you want me, like, is it, like, do you want it to be, you know, disqualification? I mean, what do you want? You know, that I needed more guidance. I'm so used to having a little bit, we want this, not this kind of finish, but we want, like, I don't know. You just have a little bit more of an outline in WWE. You don't sure. choreograph. I'm not going to say that, but you know how you're going to start. Mm-hmm. The ending, do you want it to have a continuation? What's happening? And they're like, just go out there, just be you. And I remember, you know, I was known as the Black Widow in WWE. And they were, when I went to TNA, they said, oh, you're the Spider Girl. And they gave me three boxes or something. And they're like, are you Tara? And I go, yes, I'm Tara. And I go, they changed my name, and not my choice, by the way. And there were spiders in it. And I said, what's this? And they're like, well, you're the Spider Girl. After you do your finish, we want you to place the spider on their body. And I go, okay, do they have venom? And they were like, yes. And I go, well, what happens if I get,
what?
You know, bit? And they're like, oh, are you allergic to bees? And I said, I don't know. I've never been allergic to bees. I've never gotten bit. And so I Googled it real quick, and I was like, oh my gosh. But they had a guy from Gatorland that had the spiders. So, of course, I talked to Big Game. You know, you tell me what kind of match you want. I'm not going to cause any, you know, problems. I'll do the match you want. And so I was like, you know, I told him after 1 year, I said, I'm going to show you what a hard worker I am after 1 year. And then we'll see if you want to sign me after the first year. And so, of course, when they said this, I was like, okay. But then, you know, you'll see the first time I have it in my hand, my hand's going shaking. And because the body language of the spider, too, you don't know what the heck is going on. And I ended up liking it. I felt like Jake the Snake with the snake, you know. I felt very badass, excuse my language. But the kids loved it. And I was like, I embraced it. And I was so bummed that they ended up killing off the spider. But the spider was making more money than some of the mid-carders, because
Really?
The guy from Gatorland was getting paid to be there. He's there when I start until the end of the show, because you don't know if they're going to do a pre-tape at the end. So they have to pay somebody to stay there with the spiders. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what caused the demise of my spider.
More spiders.
Yeah, he was too expensive.
Well, Tara mentioned Jake the Snake Roberts, and that leads me into the next clip, and that is with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. The WWE Hall of Famer was a part of a Stride Pro Wrestling show in October 2017, and I asked him lots of questions. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, truly a great, great individual. The talk that we had, man, we talked for more than an hour, and you can go back and listen to more in the archives for any of these podcasts. But, you know, we talked about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, his feud with – I'm sorry. We talked about – of course, it was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat I was talking to. We talked about Jake the Snake Roberts, which is why I was creating this brilliant segue that I just butchered. At one point, though, during that feud, which was a great feud, I loved the chemistry that those two guys had with each other. Ricky involved a real-life dragon, if you will, a Komodo dragon, and he also had an alligator or a crocodile at one point as well. So Tara talked about her spiders, or Lisa Marie talked about the spiders that Tara had, and now Ricky talks about his animals as well.
One of the other ones that really stood out to me as a kid watching was your feud with Jake Roberts in WWE. Or WWF at the time. Saturday night's main event, I think it all kind of started where he DDT'd you on the floor of the arena, and the match never really technically got started. And then once that feud engaged, of course, he had the snake, and then you started coming into the ring with a dragon of sorts to go along with your moniker. So what was it like working with the animals and with Jake Roberts?
I'm not a big fan of crocodiles, mm-hmm. or monitor style lizards or Komodo dragons, or, you know, there was a handler that was responsible for bringing it, and he was the same guy that was in charge of bringing Jake Roberts' snakes. So he had a lot of that stuff in his home, and I guess they used it for Hollywood props or used him. But, you know, you can see the tie-in would be a natural. You know, Ricky with his dragon and Jake Roberts with his snake.
Mm-hmm.
And it did draw some pretty big numbers in the viewing audience. Of course, their curiosity. But I didn't care for that crocodile. It was a South American caiman, which is just another word for a croc, you know.
Okay.
A small one.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was about, I don't know, 4 feet long. But, you know, to follow the storyline, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't a big fan favorite at that point in time in my career, only because of that reptile. It's really opened my eyes how strong these guys are, these reptiles. They're nothing but muscle.
Yeah.
I had a little pressure point behind their ears. Their ears were a little pinhole, and you would squeeze there, and you could nullify the movement.
Oh, wow.
But you had to have pretty good grip, and sometimes your hand would get tired of holding it, applying that pressure, and you could, if your hand's starting to weaken, you could see he was starting to come to.
Mm.
Yeah, it was, I was sort of happy when that angle was finished.
Someone else who is pretty wild and crazy is Cash Borden. He, of course, is part of Stride Pro Wrestling's roster. I have really come to like and respect Cash a lot for what he does in the ring. You know, he was a part of the angle that I did back in May with Roger Mathis, kind of coming to my rescue and Tom's rescue for that matter, and using a taser to allow me to escape the ring and get out. But before all of this went down, and before I really got to know Cash a little bit better, we talked on the My123Cents podcast in 2017 and talked about his experience, because Cash is very different outside of the stride ring. I mean, he's pretty hard-hitting in stride, but outside of stride, he does a lot of hardcore matches, and he does a lot to put his body on the line. And he talks more about his experiences with Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Of course, the Juggalos used to come to Southern Illinois at the Gathering of the Juggalos in wrestling. Pro wrestling was a big part of that. Lots of legends on board for that as well in the past. So right now, Cash Borden explains what he experienced with Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
At the gathering, it is absolutely terrifying. All right, Tech 9 had opened right before we had wrestled, so there's 15,000 people there.
Wow.
And then during the Kaiju Big Battle thing, you know, we're dressed up in these costumes, there's different monsters and stuff like that, and there's a whole city out in the ring that you have to destroy, and you got your good guys and your bad guys. They kind of run it like a luchador type thing, but from the future, outer space. Like, I was Uli Buzu, which was a sea urchin, and I wrestled Dusto Bunny, which was a huge, dusty bunny.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it is nuts. You can't see nothing with these masks on. You have to portray this character still while you're in the scene, so you're bouncing around. It's like 100 degrees. It's outside. You got these hot lights beaming down on you. You got people throwing beer and all kinds of stuff at you. You're trying to destroy a city while fighting a match. I mean, it's just insane.
Is there video of this online somewhere? I've got to find this.
There is actually a highlight video of the year that it was. Somebody had went through and took video of it all. I believe me and Dusto Bunny was like the main focus, though, on the video.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've seen a video of Kaiju Big Battle, but I've never been to it live. So what... you said 15,000 people. I would imagine that's probably the biggest crowd you've wrestled in front of.
I actually worked for JCW over in St. Louis too. That was at Pops Nightclub, and there was a good probably, I'd say 5,000 there. It was Cottonmouth Kings, ICP, and Coolio, and then JCW opened up the show.
Oh wow. So, yeah, so what's it like being in front of a crowd of those, you know, thousands versus then when you come to, you know, you mentioned iCall from a few years ago and then Stride, where there may be a couple of dozen to a couple of hundred people in the crowd. Do you change anything up, or are you in there? You seem to me like you've got the spirit where you wouldn't care if you're wrestling in front of 10 people or 10,000 people. You're going to give it your all.
That's exactly right, Kevin. I mean, my whole goal when I step through that curtain is, no matter if I'm the first match on the card or the last match, whenever the people leave, they're going to remember me, no matter what.
So I mentioned Cash Borden from Stride Pro Wrestling. I can't go much further without talking about a good friend of mine on Stride, and I'll get the chapstick out. It is Heath Hatton. He is challenging Tony Flood. By the way, Cash is challenging Wraith for the Legacy title on the 21st of September. Hatton is challenging Tony Flood for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. And Hatton and I, we've had several interviews on this podcast. He's been on the YouTube channel. He has been on WSIL News as well. That's kind of like what I like about doing the podcast, when I can do the in-person interviews. And this is one of those. We were actually in a car together riding back from an SICW show, and I decided to get the recorder out and just record. And we talked about training and, you know, his passion for Stride Pro Wrestling, the Stride Pro Wrestling School, and kind of what he looks for when it comes to recruiting talent to wrestle.
What exactly are you looking for when it comes to signing men and women to become professional wrestlers?
I mean, really, like, you know, if what I tell my first, you know, lesson when I meet somebody or when somebody contacts me about being wrestling or about being a wrestler, I tell them the most important thing, and if you're listening, the most important thing you need to know is wrestling is not WWE. So... it's, you know, it's a locker room with a fire truck in the background, like we saw tonight. It is a trash bag basically put up, blocking off an area. It is, you know, peeing in a bottle in the back. It's not glamorous. There's no jumbotrons. There's no screaming fans waiting for you outside. I mean, there's not big money. You just have to love wrestling. I think it was Tommy Dreamer who recently, you know, made a tweet that was like, you know, when you have money and you still do this stuff, it's because you love it. And that's kind of the first thing I tell everyone. If you wrestle thinking you're going to be a WWE superstar, you're going to get there, don't. So that's like the most important thing, I think, to get through to people's head is like, okay, yeah, so you've watched wrestling on TV. This is not what wrestling is. This, like, now, like, I love wrestling and what I do is amazing and I love the indie show, but that's not for everyone. And then the second thing is basically to give somebody a bump and show them, okay, it's not fake. You're going to feel this. So your first month of training, you're dizzy and you have headaches every day and it doesn't go away for about a month until you get used to it. So the open house is pretty much to show them, this is what a bump feels like. Now, can you handle it? And tell me tomorrow if you can handle it, because you're going to be sore and it's going to hurt.
And obviously, those who have come back and graduated, and I think you've got, what, 5 graduates now that have completed the first round or the first session of Stride School, and some great names, and I'm excited for the future for guys like Dexter Roswell and Red Daniels and Scott Phoenix and Brian Richards. So these guys have obviously put their bodies on the line. They're doing their thing in the ring. You have to have a sense of pride because you're seeing now the fruit of that labor kind of paying off, and these guys are going off and not only working for Stride, but some of them are traveling around and making money as professional wrestlers.
I'm just so, like, I guess humbled and happy. Like, you know, it's, you know, even like the Eugene that, you know, he trained a lot with Tony Flood and then he came and finished with me.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, I told them all originally, like, try to find a character to play. You know, like, I'll teach you how to wrestle, but I want you guys to get a character and I want you to own it and I want you to, you know, play that character and play that role. And that's not an easy thing to do when you've had no acting school, no, you know. And we, some of the funnest nights that I've had is when we did promo night, you know. And so everybody got in the ring and got to cut a promo. And that's really when characters started developing. And I can remember, you know, Dexter Roswell cutting one of his first promos as Dexter Roswell and how nervous he was. And, you know, and Scott Phoenix for the first time cutting a promo. And it was fun. It was amazing. And then, you know, and to me, that's the hardest part. Teaching these guys how to wrestle is the easy part, you know. But teaching them how to talk and how to act and how to play a character. And, you know, I just think I'm so proud of all of them.
Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I've actually met him in person back in 2011. He was a part of an event at Rent One Park where it was a meet and greet. And, you know, in 2016, Hacksaw was doing some wrestling here in Southern Illinois. I actually teamed up with Jerry Travelstead, who is a part of the Stride Pro Wrestling roster as well. But this was a show that Jerry was working, I believe, with Burt Prentice on, and they were promoting in the Pinckneyville, Illinois area. And Hacksaw, you know, came to town, and he's, you know, like I mentioned, he's a legend. He's been around for generations, and he talks about the fact that he still does get in the ring from time to time, not as much as he used to, but he talks about his generation and the longevity of those characters, and as well as his time in the Legends House with the late, great Rowdy Roddy Piper.
The 30-plus years I wrestled in every state in the Union, every province in Canada, in 30 different countries. I mean, it's hard even to think of 30 countries, but the worldwide appeal of wrestling is undeniable. You know, nobody knows Peyton Manning over in Barcelona, but they'll go, oh!
This is very true. You know, I mentioned your name even in our newsroom at the TV station, and people who aren't even wrestling fans will
bellow out a ho. So you've definitely had an impact on pop culture. Did you think 30 plus years ago when you got into the business that you would still be doing it and become the iconic figure in the world of professional wrestling that you became?
Well, I don't think it's just me. I think it's our generation of guys, you know, that the WWF guys, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Savage, Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase. People just remember that generation. That was kind of the golden age of pro wrestling. And, I mean, it's amazing. I can be traveling with some of the new guys on TV, and people are like, I saw Duggan. Are there any other wrestlers here? I'm like, yeah, there's a couple of them right here. People tend to remember that generation, and I'm glad to be part of it. Now to realize I'd be doing it this long after I started, no. But you know, like I said, I've cut down on my wrestling quite a bit. I do a lot of Comic-Con conventions. Last week I was at a Comic-Con. I'm getting ready to do the New York City Comic-Con in October. But I also do stand-up shows, kind of like Mick Foley started.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Can I ask you, and I hope you don't mind this, you talked about some of the legends that you were with back in the day in the 80s and 90s of WWE. Legends House, I think wrestling fans, a new generation of fans, got to know more about Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And someone that you really connected with on that show was Rowdy Roddy Piper, who sadly passed away last year. What was it about Hot Rod that, because if I remember correctly from the show, you two, although you were in the WWE at the same time, you didn't seem to bond like you did on this show.
Right, yeah, we kind of hung with different groups, you know, when we were both wrestling. And, of course, that Legend House, it opened me up to a whole new generation of fans, like you said. People would come up and say, I didn't really like you as a wrestler, but I really enjoyed you on Legend House. And, you know, when I was on my way out there, we did it out in Palm Springs at Harpo Marx's mansion. And it was gorgeous when I'm on the way out there. They said, well, you have to have a roommate. I'm like, well, I haven't had a roommate since college. You know, I'm thinking, who's going to be? Jimmy Hart, I get along with, you know, Hillbilly. And like, your roommate with Piper. Like you said, I didn't know Piper very well. So for the first couple of days, we just kind of eyeballed each other. You know, like, yeah, how you doing, brother? I'm doing good. How about you? But then, I tell you, we started to bond, and the fans called it the bromance, and it really did. We became best friends in those 5 weeks. Our families became friends, our daughters, our wives are friends to this day. Of course, we were heartbroken along with everybody else with this sudden passing.
And my final clip that I'm going to play for this 200th episode is someone who I truly look up to and respect in the podcasting, branding, marketing world, and that is Conrad Thompson. I first started listening to Conrad when he co-hosted a show with the Nature Boy Ric Flair. I believe the first incarnation was Woo Nation, and then it became the Ric Flair Show, I believe. And I was just very intrigued with his fascination with the business and just things outside of the normal, just wrestling. He wanted to know kind of how things worked. And Ric Flair was great. They were great together and obviously are soon to be father and son-in-law to one another. But, of course, from that spawned Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. And then what happened... What Happened When with Tony Schiavone, and 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. And so when I interviewed Conrad in the summer of 2016, it was not long after the whole birth of Something to Wrestle With. So Something to Wrestle With was relatively new. So the clip that you're going to hear, he talks about the interview that he did with Eric Bischoff on Ric Flair's show. And it's interesting listening to that. And 2 years later, Bischoff and Conrad now have a podcast together called, of course, 83 Weeks, as we mentioned. So check out now Eric Bischoff or Conrad Thompson talking about his relationship then with Eric Bischoff.
As a wrestling nerd, though, there's nothing bigger than having an opportunity to talk to Eric Bischoff to me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was our best interview we ever had. He was the most in-depth, and he was the most willing to discuss things that maybe didn't go right. And one of the reasons I respect him so much as a human being is in the wrestling business, sometimes people have a tendency to kind of, you know, want to minimize everything. Oh, it wasn't my fault. Oh, they buried me. Oh, they really screwed me over here. You know, oh, you don't understand, bro, whatever the case may be. But Eric would just own it and say, you know what, I wish I had that to do over again. I didn't handle that very well. And so when he's able to just kind of shoulder some of that, I think that is just huge, and I think it makes him a fascinating interview. And I think that's probably our best one. But the show, by and large, is funny. So every time we have a funny one, we somehow seem to top it. Very recently, we had Greg Hammer Valentine on, and that's a guy that I didn't grow up a big fan of. You know, I was a little Hulkamaniac kid, so by the time I saw him, he was more rhythm and blues. Mm. And, you know, feuding with Ronnie Garvin and the WWE, it was a different era, but they had such history from the 70s that just to be a fly on the wall and hear stories about the time Rick dressed up like a woman to pull a rib on Ray Stevens, and Don Fargo and his crazy piercing stories, and things that people used to do in, you know, Nelson Royal's hat. Those are type of stories that, you know, we're probably never going to see the light of day if it weren't for that podcast.
Yeah, it's a great concept, and I just actually finished up the Greg the Hammer show today. I listen to a lot of the podcast when I am out running, and sometimes I find myself laughing out loud at, you know, with some of the stories that Nature Boy has. And you were mentioning Eric Bischoff, and, you know, I was a wrestling fan all around, but I was a WWF guy, you know, more so than anything else. And, you know, especially during the Monday Night Wars, I really got behind the WWF. And I always kind of viewed Eric Bischoff as the enemy, so to speak. And you read online stuff and you hear things and whatever. But these podcasts really kind of, I don't want to say humanize, but they put these characters in a different light. And you know, you hit the nail on the head with the Eric Bischoff description, because I viewed him more as, you know, this was a guy who had a job to do, and you know, he was trying to save his career and his family and everything else. And he was not the demon as I had perceived him to be, based on, you know, the character he was playing or the online reports of him.
Yeah, and the person who I've learned that the most from, if I'm honest with you, is Bruce Pritchard, because Bruce was really, you know, the right-hand man to Vince McMahon for, you know, more than two decades, nearly three decades in the business, working closely with Vince. So because of that, you know, he has been able to, you know, be on the inside and have the inside track. So just in our, you know, leisure time, not when the mics are recording, and I would just hit him with, you know, what we do on the show now. Hey, what happened when? And then launch into something. I get a really different perspective, and I start to realize, you know, what we as wrestling fans, and I don't even think it's a thing anymore, but the internet wrestling community as a whole, because I think everybody who's a wrestling fan is online now, but, you know, we still call it that. Anyway, I think, you know, a lot of the stuff that we have just taken as fact over the years was because it was filtered through a couple of different channels, and we all just took it as fact, whether it was The Torch or it was The Observer or it was One Wrestling or PWI and Mike Johnson or whatever it is. If we read it there, we just assumed, okay, what we're reading here is what really happened and what, you know, everybody else is telling us they're trying to spin or they're trying to work or whatever. But you learn through, you know, relationships that you meet through these podcasts, that no, that wasn't really how it happened, or that may have been, you know, what one person perceived as being the way it took place, but there is another side of the story, and I think these podcasts really allow us to kind of have a peek behind the curtain at what the full story really was.
Well, friends, that is going to do it. 200 episodes in the can. What is next? I don't know for sure, but one thing I know for sure is I will be back. I have more shows coming up, a guest planned, and I'll tweak things along the way. I've talked about kind of refocusing and redoing some things. I really like the concept of wrestling under the influence. I like having guests on and doing things and talking to fans and whatnot. So there'll be more interaction. There'll be more fun. Again, weigh in. Let me know. Also, be sure to head over to the My123Cents Facebook page. There's going to be a poll, or there is a poll up, determining the name of the My 1-2-3 Cents Monkey. Now, this started on Twitter with four. It has been narrowed down to the final two. And I need your impact or your input to see where we go next with the naming of the monkey, because it's been a long time coming. And I'm doing this in part because I've always wanted to name him and I've just drug my feet on it after almost 4 years. But also, for branding purposes, and building that brand includes a store on the Pro Wrestling Tee shop, and you can look for that. It's prowrestlingtees.com/my123cents, and right now there's one shirt design. I am working on a Halloween themed shirt that will be going up hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and you can buy that. And then there are a couple more design ideas, but I need that name in place first, and then we're going to proceed on with that. So again, everyone, thanks for 200 episodes. Thanks for watching the YouTube channel. Thanks for reading the blog. Thanks for answering questions when I post them out there on social media. Your input is appreciated, and I may not always listen to what you say to a T, but I appreciate and respect everyone who weighs in and offers me their 1-2-3 cents. So friends, thank you again for being a part of the ride. It's been fun. It's been thrilling. It's been exciting. I'm not going anywhere. I will be back next week with episode 201. We'll have to see where we're going, what direction we're headed in, but that's what I love about this and the world of professional wrestling. Everyone, thanks again. Take care. Don't forget, Stride Pro Wrestling coming up this Friday night, September 21st.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.